ways to support us. That's definitely the best route to go through. You can also, on our website, we do have a way to sign up through our email list. So if that's more your thing, you can get email notifications and that sort of thing. And yeah.
So listeners should look for the Burgerville Workers Union on Facebook, on the web, and also by email if that works for you. We'd like to thank you all for joining us tonight. We want to thank Jordan, Ivy, Olivia, and Elise all, and wish you much success, and Ivy especially next week for you. Be thinking of you on Tuesday.
Thank you.
Jamie, you got a couple of announcements you want to get out there?
Yeah. Tomorrow, Tuesday, May 24th, workers at Portland State University are holding a Speak Out and Teach In for a $15 minimum wage for all campus workers. That's 4 p.m. in the Green Roots Cafe. And this Saturday, May 21st, a family-friendly solidarity picket for the 39,000 striking Verizon workers will be held at 10 a.m. at the Verizon store at Cascade Station Mall.
So you can hear this and other shows archived at www.kbo.fm. So if it's a resource for you, post it and have people go listen to it. And also, if you know somebody who ought to hear this and missed it, tell them individually to go and check it out later on.
And thanks also to our engineer, Danielle Parks. Stay tuned for Prison Pipeline and come back next week for more Labor Radio. Good night, all.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Two or three hours after I left church, I heard this noise, and they were saying the dike has broken.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Vanport Mosaic Festival, May 27th through May 30th, celebrating the preservation of the history of Vanport and its residents. The Vanport Mosaic Festival is 4 days of art, culture, historical exhibits, lectures, and tours that will engage audiences in a deeper understanding of this chapter in Portland's history. This includes screenings of short documentary films, performances of Cottonwood in the Flood, and much, much more. Again, the Vanport Mosaic Festival is May 27th through May 30th, celebrating the preservation of the history of Vanport and its residents, taking place all over the Portland metro area. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Historian Joseph Reif talks about a statement by white clergy in Mississippi in 1962 in response to racism.
One of the things the church has to decide is, what's the difference between being the church and protecting the institution of the church?
Born of Conviction on Progressive Spirit. Listen to weekly podcasts on kboo.fm/progressive spirit.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But
they won't do no schools anymore. They won't do no hospitals. They won't build no schools anymore. They won't build no hospitals. All they build will be prison, prison. All they build will be prison, prison. All they build will be prison, prison.
Good evening, greetings, and welcome to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. We're here this evening with a prison activist by the name of Ben Turk. Ben, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for being on. Can you just kind of give a broad kind of explanation of the kind of work that you're involved with? You've done so much over so many years now. I don't even know where to start myself to present you. So would you mind just talking about that a little bit, how you got involved and what kind of things you're currently working on?
Sure. Yeah, I've been mainly focusing on doing outside support work for prisoners engaged in resistance and rebellion against the prison system that they're trapped within. I started that work when I was living in Ohio and did a lot with the survivors of the Lucasville Uprising. But in recent years, I am now living in Wisconsin, and I've been working with, continuing to work with those guys, but also with the Free Alabama Movement and the Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee of the IWW.
You mentioned the survivors of the Lucasville Uprising. Can you just talk about that briefly?
Yeah, so the Lucasville Uprising is the longest prison uprising in the history of the United States in which people died. Mm-hmm. And afterward, it's also one of the only uprisings that ended with a peacefully negotiated surrender. And afterward, the state went after the prisoners who negotiated that surrender, as well as any other prisoner who sort of emerged as a leader, and gave them very harsh penalties, including the death penalty. And they built a supermax prison particularly for these guys. So they've been down in solitary confinement for 23 years now.
Okay, you also mentioned the Free Alabama Movement, which is a bit more recent. Can you explain that a little bit more, please?
Yeah, so in January of 2014 was the first time that the Free Alabama Movement kind of burst onto the scene. They organized a work stoppage in multiple facilities in Alabama, shutting down a large portion of the prison system there, refusing to work, and making it impossible for the prisons to operate normally. They have since continued to organize, and just this year in May, they called a work stoppage on May Day and shut down multiple facilities again for about a week, and had to come off when the prison coerced work release prisoners, like minimum security prisoners, to come in and scab against them in the industry jobs.
Okay, so we want to say something about September 9th and why that's significant as far as Attica and building up to that. Can you maybe kind of give, say something brief about kind of Attica and then how that reflects what's going on today with current conditions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in 45 years ago, prisoners at Attica, which is a notorious prison in New York State, went, they took over the prison. They had a lot of labor disputes and a lot of grievances that were being ignored, and they rebelled and took over the prison, and then the National Guard came in and killed everybody. Lots and lots of people were killed or injured during that, the attempt to put down the rebellion. And immediately prisoners were blamed for everything that happened. And eventually, after a lot of public pressure, one of the medical examiners came forward and said that the guards who were killed, as well as everybody else, were killed by gunshots, which the prisoners did not have guns. So it was clearly the National Guard had actually committed the murders that occurred that the prisoners had been blamed for. So there was they won amnesty for the prisoners who were facing charges after that. Yeah, so that's like Attica in a nutshell. There's so much more to
that story.
But yeah.
Well, it's a prime historical example, and it sets a lot of precedent for today. So can you talk about those kind of linkages?
Yeah, so, I mean, the argument for amnesty in Attica is the argument that we reference a lot when we're talking about Lucasville amnesty. Mm-hmm. The guys who are either on death row or serving life without parole type sentences have all been framed, and we're equally, it's a more complicated situation. There's not, you know, a clear medical examiner who can just come forward and show bullet holes, and it's not, it involves more arguing, which is why it's taken 20 years mm-hmm. to get done. But in Lucasville, those prisoners deserve amnesty for the same kind of reasons. And the issues leading up to the Attica Rebellion were largely labor issues. The prisoners wanted to organize a union, and they wanted to have representation and collective bargaining and those kinds of things, which the Supreme Court has decided against prisoners on in the past, and prison guards and administrators are strongly against that. But that is also what the Free Alabama movement is trying to do.
Mm-hmm. And again, just to kind of recap on what's going on kind of on the ground right now is a call that comes out of, that comes more or less out of the Free Alabama movement, but is a national call.
Yes, between Hassan and the Free Alabama movement, Hassan from the Lucasville Uprising and the Free Alabama movement, as well as prisoners in other states, kind of collaborated and bringing this call together. And it is a call for a nationwide work stoppage and protest on September 9th, the 45th anniversary of the Attica Rebellion.
Mm-hmm. Can you, for any listeners, and we'll keep, you know, mentioning it to the resources in order to learn more about that and to kind of link up with that particular cause?
Yeah, if you go to iwoc.noblogs.org or to Support Prisoner Resistance, there's all kinds of resources on, there's like the actual call for the September 9th mm-hmm. action, as well as resources on resistance and organizing leading up to that action.
Right, and there's kind of an acronym built in to one of those as well, which relates to some different organizations. So can you kind of talk about some of the organizations that are participating in this currently?
Yeah, so the Industrial Workers of the World have come out really strong in support of incarcerated workers. They've formed the Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee, which is an inside-outside coalition of people who are kind of helping do support for prisoners who are going on strike and are agitating around these kinds of things. The action for September 9th has also been endorsed by the National Lawyers Guild.
Great.
So that's another organization that's on board with this.
Okay. Well,
as well as the Free Alabama movement, and there are multiple states, Virginia, Ohio. There are people organizing here in Wisconsin, where I am right now, who are building freedom movements modeled after the Free Alabama movement right now.
Right. So in other words, there are some kind of main organizations that have national connections to prisoners and to activists of some sort, but then you have a lot of people on the ground who are friends and family members of incarcerated persons and or formerly incarcerated persons as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ben, you have been involved with a lot of political education around talking about mass incarceration, and I've gotten experience some excellent activities that you've put on. Some of that relates to theater type work, things of that nature. Can you talk a little bit about kind of artful activism within the prison work? Because I think a lot of people, in some sense, get very turned off with doing work around mass incarceration because it's a very kind of cold-looking issue. I mean, which it is, right? It is very, very cold and very sobering. So sometimes people lose the kind of, if you will, the sexy appeal that some of the environmental movement might have, like here in the Northwest where we're like doing kayaktivism and stuff, but mass incarceration kind of, there's that coldness to it. But again, people are doing artful activism. And can you just talk about kind of different things that relate to that?
Yeah, there have been just recently there was a really exciting protest outside of the Corrections Corporation of America meeting in Nashville, Tennessee, which is not somewhere that you normally think of as a big activist hub.
Right.
But it was really confrontational and kind of boisterous and ecstatic in their protests. I have done, like you mentioned, theater. I've done a couple of prison abolitionist plays, toured the country with them, raising awareness, talking to people about issues, everything from solitary confinement to like community policing and how, you know, the kinder, gentler police officers are actually just building better and more effective inroads to social control in certain neighborhoods. There are a lot of different, I don't know if I would say that prisoner support work is cold. I understand what you mean by that, but to me it's work that is very passionate and emotionally difficult, and some of the warmest and life-changing relationships, most impactful relationships I've had have been with prisoners. And there's a different, there's definitely a huge challenge of going through the cold institution and the isolation and the things that they hold these people behind. But once you get through that and you sit down and eat vending machine food in a supermax prison sitting across the table from a guy who's been there for 20 years, and the way that humanity shines through some of these people under those circumstances can really warm like your idea of human potential and human endurance.
For folks just tuning in, you're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. We're here with prison activist Ben Turk, and we're talking about some recent calls for a national prisoner work stoppage that will be commencing on September 9th, which commemorates the famous insurrection in Attica State Prison in New York. So, Ben, back to this theme here of how do people get involved? What kind of things can people do to get the word out about this? And we've talked a little bit about some really creative things. Can you talk more about some different examples and what might be some possible expectations or good ideas for organizing a round of and for September 9th?
Yeah, we really need people to do actions and events in the real world in your city. That and also outreach into prisons and with prisoner families. Those are the main things. There's a lot of people who will share posts on the internet and do that kind of stuff, and that's great. It raises awareness. It helps. But the more that we can be making this show up in the mainstream media, or just not even necessarily the media, but the mainstream communities, so that it's not something that can be ignored. Prison is something that has been systematically invisibilized in our society, and we really need to be undoing that. And it's a process. It's an internal process as well as an external process of undoing that indoctrination within ourselves as individuals, but also confronting and just recognizing that people who are in prison are human beings, and countering the dialogue that says that they're villains or that they're incorrigible or that they deserve to be tortured and enslaved.
Mm-hmm. So there's a few threads to getting involved. And as you mentioned, one of those is, there's the whole social media piece. Direct support. What does that really mean? What does that really look like when we talk about the direct support? You talked about going inside, and sitting and visiting with people and all the things that entails. Can you talk more about that, the direct support piece?
Yeah, I mean, just it's a huge challenge to get past a restrictive mailroom or something like that, or to get past the prejudices that you have in your own mind. But once you do and you start building actual relationships with people, prisoners all across this country are in really horrific and desperate circumstances, and they fight back daily in those circumstances. But it's a separate world, and the more that we can make direct connections, that we can bridge the gap between those worlds, that we can shine a light in on their struggles, and that we can struggle alongside them and connect with them and build solidarity on the outside, the more that those struggles have a chance of succeeding instead of just devolving into destructive despair and hopelessness of fighting for fighting against the injustice that is like literally torturing you and everyone that you see on a regular basis.
As far as plugging into this and, you know, making contacts, there's this whole human contact piece, you know, even before the direct support, right? Mm-hmm. And this is something that you've done and continue to do a lot. You write to people, you visit. Some of those people are political prisoners too. How do people, you know, that aren't familiar with this work really kind of get plugged in that way, that you're making contacts with prisoners? I mean, obviously there's no mystery to it, but kind of, can you just talk about that and how that works?
Yeah, I mean, it's letter writing nights are a big way of doing this, and Books to Prisoners is also a really great organization. If there's a Books to Prisoners near you.
There is in Portland, yep.
Yeah, so volunteering with Books to Prisoners, and then, you know, the people who are requesting a book that you enjoyed or that you think that has interesting politics, you can write them a letter and be like, hey, I read that book, and I want to talk to you about it, you know? And you can start to make those kind of connections. And if you are interested in, like, organizing and trying to build some collective action movements and things in prison, it gets to be a real challenging thing because every single person that you're going to get a letter back from is going to have a story of injustice, whether it is that they were wrongfully convicted or that they have been abused and had their rights trod on while they were in prison, or they've just recognized that, like, even if they did something wrong and they hurt people, being in prison hasn't done anything to help them, like, repair that damage and come back and return or restore the actions that they regret. And so anybody that you hear from prison is going to be somebody that your heart is going to want to pour a lot of time into supporting. But we're the best way to win in these situations is to build collective power and to work on grievances that apply to many prisoners, and to get action on the inside and outside around those larger issues.
Yeah. On that note, that's where several prisoners and various kind of prisoner movements over many years now, including Attica, right, had some very key lists of demands and things of that nature. Can you talk about what some of those have been and what they are that might be developing or what have you in different places?
Mm-hmm. Here in Wisconsin, which is, as far as I can tell, the next large resistance action that is on my radar, is there are prisoners who are going to go on a food refusal or hunger strike on June 10th. Mm-hmm. And their demands are an end to administrative confinement, which is long-term solitary confinement, where you get locked down in single celled for 23 hours plus a day, and they've been in those kind of circumstances for years. So that is one of the things that people are mobilizing around right now. There's also a fight against toxic prisons, where, you know, environmental catastrophes and environmental racism and everything that's going on a lot of times applies extra hard in prisons because prisoners are not considered. You know, that their humanity is not recognized, and so it's okay if they drink water that's full of lead, and it's okay if they have poisoned food and all the other terrible things. So that is happening on June 11th. There's a national convergence in D.C. In the South, you're more often going to see prisoners who are talking about labor and slavery. That history, I think, resonates more in Alabama and Texas, where there have been recent large work stoppages against prison slavery. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's resistance on different issues in lots of places.
Right, and you talked about, you mentioned a little bit, you know, getting locked up in a shoe cell for a very long period of time. So there's all this various forms of repercussions, retributions, and repression that's going on for this activity. Can you talk about what that generally looks like? The kind of things that are pretty key elements of that repression in various prison movements over the last, you know, couple decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it is shoe units and ADSEG and administrative confinement. All of these things are just different words for solitary confinement, for locking someone in a room the size of your bathroom for 23 hours a day for years on end. And that is done to people who are organizing, people who are causing trouble, people who are political, people who are have a lot of friends and act together to stand up for themselves. Those are the people who get put into those kind of units. And it's a system of, it is a system that matches very closely with what the CIA calls the simple torture situation. And so it's not that the UN looked at this and decided that it was torture, it is that it was designed to be torture by the mm-hmm. same government that tortures people for military interrogations according to the same method. You are locked in isolation, you have no control over when the lights are on, when you get food, when you have to stand up and get counted. There's constant noise and people banging on cells or people freaking out in other cells and yelling. And it is a situation that's designed to break the human mind and make people docile and easily controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's so amazing when there are people who resist that and people who survive under those circumstances.
Right. Ben, you're so aware of all these things that are connected here, and as well as, you know, kind of ways to change them, very visionary ideas, and how this affects, you know, the human spirit, pride and dignity, you know, even these connections with the environment. And, you know, wrapping up here, and that's like the million-dollar question, but I'll frame it around September 9th instead of maybe just saying, what do you see, you know, for the world. But for September 9th, on the outside, your personal take on what you would like to see as far as people, you know, getting involved, even if it's not, you know, there's some consciousness movement there, kind of what would that be? Where do you see these things going? Where would you like to see it? What kind of directions would you like to see it move into?
If guys on the inside are successful, it will not be possible to operate prisons that they are working in and engaging in direct action. I would like to see people on the outside matching that effectiveness and dedication, whether that means protests at prisons, during like shift changes, whether that means direct action against the offices that like central office for any of these kinds of places, protest actions, things that the media cannot ignore, ways that we can make the actions of the prisoners on the inside something that builds and spreads. A lot of prisoners are down for this kind of stuff, but they are afraid to do it alone, and they have been lured into action and gotten no results in the past. And so once September 9th happens and we're starting to see prisoners standing up, we need on the outside to be communicating those victories and that resistance so that prisoners in other places, prisoners who are worried about engaging in it, can see that it is possible to do it and that they will have support on the outside and that they will get results.
Great. Can you please repeat the particulars, any pertinent links in social media that's available to learn more about September 9th call?
Yes. If you go to supportprisonerresistance.net, or iwoc.noblogs.org.
You've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Want to thank our guest here, Ben Turk. Ben, thanks so much for being on. Hopefully we can hook up maybe the next couple months and with some other folks and get some updates on what's going on. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. And I would love to also help get some prisoner friends of mine to also do an interview with you.
All right. Great. Great. Well, we will do it. Thanks also to our engineer, Danielle Parks. Have a great evening. Free them all. And we'll see you next week.
Our nation's over-reliance on incarceration has left millions of children emotionally cut off from the most important relationship of their young lives. Join Prison Pipeline on May 30th to hear Laura Speer from the Annie E. Casey Foundation discuss how children of prisoners are impacted and how the states and communities can help support these kids and improve their prospects for success. That's Prison Pipeline, May 30th, at 6:30 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a